It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, sports fans, and welcome to the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, the baseball fanatic. This is all brought to you by Coach's Corner because we are part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. You know, at Coach's Corner, it's all food fun since 1991, but now it's all music out in the Soundgarden too. So go to coachescorner.net and check out who's playing there in the Soundgarden. I don't know much about this band, but I heard it's really a big one. The producers are coming in this weekend. And I mean, from what I'm reading, I got some guys flying in from California just to come see the producers. So it's got to be a really big show. But once again, we're here with episode 6, talking about what's going on in baseball, all things baseball, whether it's Major League, Minor League, Savannah, the Bananas. That's right. We'll have a Bananas guest on tonight. So we'll set it up quickly what we're going to do. All right. The first segment is all around the horn. That's where we talk about what's going on in the American and National League. Then we get into the Braves focus, because that's what we hear about. The Braves. We live in Savannah, Georgia. And, of course, the Braves aren't too far from Savannah, Georgia, even though, you know, we got other teams we root for. But I know more about the Braves than I do about my favorite team. But forget about the fanatic, okay? And then we're getting into Savannah Bananas. We had the president, Jared Orton. We had the vice president, Barry Aldridge. We had the baseball entertainer on the internet, Biko Silva. We had the voice of Grayson Stadium, Mark the Shark Edis. And how about this? We're going to have the queen of the Savannah Bananas, the marketing wizard, okay, because this girl does a great job. She's from Savannah, Georgia, Carahita. And then we'll get into our little trivia question where the fanatic is up 3-1 with one tie. And once again, good evening, Kyle Lawson. Welcome to another show of Who's on First Base.
Hey, Coach, always good to talk to you. And we are officially a month in the books right now in the Major League Baseball season. I always say give it about 40 games. You'll really know where your teams are at. Well, we're about 30 games in right now. And I got to tell you, Coach, if you would have told me some of the names are at the at top of the standings right now at the start of the year, I wouldn't have believed you. Who knows if this is going to last for all of them, but we got a lot to talk about, a lot of fun surprise starts.
All right, and that brings us right away to inning number one. Let's go around the horn. Let's go to the American League, the National League. Let's start with it all. So we're going to go to the junior circuit, the American League, and we're going to start in the AL East. We said the Red Sox weren't going to be in this. We said they'd be fifth or sixth. But how do you like this? The Red Sox have been leading the division almost the whole year.
Yeah, they got off to an unbelievable start. Alex Cora has been doing a lot of mixing and matching. And, I mean, Boston is off to a hot start, even doing a retool right now. You're getting great pitching from guys like Nathan Eovaldi, Nick Pivetta. You got a guy named Matt Andrezi coming in and closing the other day. And Matt Barnes has been holding it down pretty well. And you are getting some great at-bats and great games from, you know, guys like JD Martinez. He's absolutely raking right now. You got Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. And, you know, it's they're, you know, off to just an absolute terrific start. And, you know, there's a lot of surprises within that division. But, yeah, I got to tell you, the biggest surprise is the Red Sox right now from the East.
So Rodriguez is raking, right? That means he's hot. He's doing
– No, JD Martinez.
Martinez, okay. Martinez is raking. Is Cora cheating? Oh, sorry, I didn't say that.
Whoops. Okay, I don't think he is now. Yeah, so, funny from a Yankee fan.
We could have a camera in that rake, though. You know what I mean?
We don't know.
We don't know. Okay, so – but once again – Blue Jays have been consistent. The Yankees are finally at 500. Hey, like you said, we talked about in our little pregame warm-up, you know, the Yankees' bats aren't there. The pitching
ice
is
cold.
The pitching is doing great, and the bats are ice cold.
I mean, and honestly, right now, you're going to go through streaks like that. But, I mean, you look at the names, and you got a lot of veterans in that lineup right now that are hitting way below 200, way below the Mendoza line right now. Now, Giancarlo Stanton and Mike Judge – Mike Judge. I love King of the Hill. Sorry about that. Aaron Judge. Yeah, the court's in session. But, yeah, they are carrying the offense right now. I mean, I think it's going to be a matter of time before they just come back, the rest of the lineup comes back and actually starts performing. This is too talented of a lineup. They have some great starting pitching, and that's really helped them through. But, yeah, they are back to 500 right now. But, I mean, we're 30 games in, and I really think they're going to make it tough on the Red Sox going the rest of the way. But it's been a fun story to see how well Boston's doing in the middle of a retool.
Yep. All right, let's go to the Central. I mean, another surprise team.
Kansas City. Royals.
The Royals? Are you kidding?
I did not see that one coming. I tell you that right now. I mean, you know, Danny Duffy is, you know, been the surprise, you know, starting pitcher, you know, for them this month. They're a really fun ball club to watch, you know, and as you see, you know, they're still trying to, you know, compete, you know, with Detroit's in a full rebuild right now. The White Sox are really struggling with some injuries right now. I mean, you got Eloy Jimenez, torn pec, and now you lose another big piece in their lineup. It looks like Louis Robert, you know, one of their top prospects, you know, who was with the club last year, hip flexor. He's going to be out for several months. And so Tony La Russa is going to have some tough decisions to make there. And so, I mean, it's been a fun story to see the Royals get, you know, continue to go when clearly they're way past the days of the 2015 team that won it all.
I mean, it's surprising. It's surprising that the Kansas City Royals are there. Like you said, White Sox was supposed to be the class of the division, but like you said, we're not at 40 games yet, so we're not worried about it. All right, let's go out in the wild, wild west, the Athletics. I mean, what'd they go, 13 games in a row?
13 in a row. Man, you look at guys like Matt Olson. You look at Matt Chapman. That is just a fun ball club to watch. It's worth your time to stay up and watch some of those games on the West Coast. They're getting terrific pitching, and they are absolutely – I wouldn't have said that they would have been tops at this point right now, but they're still treading water, you know, with, you know, teams like the Angels. You know, of course, you got the best player in baseball, Mike Trout. Oakland's a fun team. They're always going to find a way to sneak into the playoffs. I think this could be a really fun year. I think they could take the division right now. I will make a bold prediction right now. That's how talented and deep that team is right now.
Hey, you gotta love Billy Ball, right?
I was about to say, yeah. I mean, Moneyball, call it whatever you want. I think we're
Billy
way
Ball,
past
Moneyball,
that. But I
Billy
mean,
Martin
when
you're, and,
but you know, when you're playing on a shoestring budget and they're still finding ways to keep these guys and keep putting up W's, that's what Oakland has been able to do. They're just a fun ball club to watch.
All right, we're going to stay on the West Coast and we're going to go to the senior circuit. Let's start out there in the NL West. Now, here's another surprise. The San Francisco Giants. Give me a break. Tell me something about the Giants. I mean, not many people know about the Giants.
That's just it. There's a lot of Indian summers for an older ball club, you know, and they're going through a little bit of a rebuild themselves. The Dodgers, you know, they lost 9 out of 12 at the end of the weekend here. And, you know, but I mean, they're still the class of the division. It's a fun story, but I don't think they can sustain it. I'm just throwing that out there right now. But it's fun to see.
But this is the only division where 1, 2, 3, 4 out of the five teams are playing over 500 baseball. And
no,
that's
it's a tight division. It is an absolute – it's going to be the tightest division in baseball because you're also going to deal with the Padres. That's
Tatis.
A team – yeah, Tatis, quite possibly the next face of this game, is out there crushing it in those god-awful uniforms they wear.
Oh, give me a break. You don't like the throwbacks?
No, yeah, I still have flashbacks from 1984. I really don't want to talk about
San Diego Padres. What does a Padre, a father, a friar, wear? A brown cloak. You got to have the brown in the San Diego Padres. I don't care what anybody says. This navy blue, I know you got me on a soapbox here now because I'm a purist. The throwback, the San Diego Padres throwback is classic.
Doesn't mean I got to like it.
Okay, well, let's call Dave Winfield and see what he thinks. Okay.
He's a heck of a nice guy. If you got his number, maybe we can call him in. That'd be a one heck of a guest.
Hey, I got some guests that I got phone numbers for that we're going to start picking up this show with guys that are in the field. They're major writers, journalists. We're going to start bringing them on too. So we're going to pick up the level here in a couple of weeks.
Well, geez, you could have told me.
I am. I'm telling you now.
All right. Well, that's pretty awesome. But yeah, right now, that's I still think that's going to be the tightest division in baseball, that Western division right now. Dodgers, back to the Dodgers just for a second. Cody Bellinger's out right now. You know, they're a little bit banged up. They're still the class of the division. I still think it's going to be them in San Diego battling it out to the end.
All right, we got to go a little quicker. We got to get back on track here. We got a guest coming in at 7:20, 7:25. So let's keep it because we still got to go to the Braves focus. We're still in the first inning. All right, this Central, near and dear to your heart, the NL Central, the Cubbies, second from last place. But, you know, the Cardinals have overtaken the Brewers and the Reds. Like you said, the Reds, you couldn't see them staying out there long. It's a very is that one of the weakest, or if not the weakest division in baseball?
I think we said that in the very first show. I still believe that is the weakest division in baseball, and I think 85 to 88 wins is going to win that division. So I still say the best clubs in that division, you know, even though my Cubbies have had their struggles right now, dealing with some injuries right now, they're still going to be battling it out, you know, in August and September with the Brewers. And, like we said, the Cincinnati Reds, the Cardinals still have some pieces there that they can cause some damage. Adam Wainwright just came off the injured list. But I think it's really anybody's guess right now. And I'm not terribly surprised where any of these teams are in that division.
All right. We're going to go to the last one, one of the ugliest divisions, awful records. And, of course, that's who we're going to talk about is the Braves. But, I mean, the Nationals are in first place with a 500 record. The Phillies have a losing record. The Mets have a losing record. The Braves have a losing record. The Marlins have a losing record. It's funny, though, but someone that's going to win 85, 90 games, or we thought we're going to win 95 to 100, it's not going to happen.
I still think it can. It's very early. And, I mean, I think there is an 88 to 90 game winner in that division. I mean, the Braves are dealing with some major league injuries. I know we're going to get with that in a second. But, yeah, Washington has held on, you know, and they're, you know, I still think they're a strong team. I still think the Braves are the class of the division if they can get healthy. And I don't know what the heck's going on in Philadelphia right now. And I have no idea. I thought that was going to be the most fun, the most dominant division in baseball, other than the NL West, to watch this year.
Well, we're going to find out. So there, we're around the horn. We've covered the league, okay? Now we got to go into a little bit of Brave focus here. I know there was a couple of things more we want to talk about around the league or around the horn, but we got a little sidetracked there. So we got to get into our second inning, Brave focus. what do you want to say? It's a slow start. And once again, I say this every year, be patient, Braves fans. Be patient, okay? They will come
Don't
on.
Jump off the mountain.
Right, but, you know, like you said, the key is going to be 40 games. Right now the Braves are at 12 and 16 after 28, losing close games like they did last year again with the bullpen, not holding on. So it's the same story, but how do you feel about it?
Again, it's a slow start, but we know the offensive firepower they have. What really bothers me is the starting pitching. They're not getting deep enough starting pitching. They're still missing Mike Soroka. Bryce Wilson's had some tough starts. Ian Anderson is still trying to figure out some mechanics, and Max Fried is not being the Max Fried that we had last year when he carried the Braves into the postseason. So it's a tough one right now, but it is very early. And I mean, the injury bug is starting to creep up on us too.
Oh, it's big time. I mean, you lose Darnell now for 60 games because he's got a ligament tear in his thumb. So you want to expand on the injuries. That's another reason why we're having a slow start. And now we're going to start relying on guys that we didn't think were going to come up until midway through the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're already seeing William Contreras, who's the top catching prospect in the system. He's going to get that starting job. In fact, they've had to select Jeff Mathis, who is a career, 190-something hitter, I think 196, coming up. Career minor leaguer, journeyman. He's seen some time in the show. He's going to have to come up and back up because Alex Jackson's gone on the 10-day IL. And so they're catching woes all the way around. Let's see what William can do. He had a big game the other day, but I think he's going to be the signal caller here for at least, the majority of the season right now until Alex Jackson comes back. We'll see how he does on the 10-day IL. I think Jackson will actually be on the IL for a little bit longer than 10 days with his injury. And then we also saw Christian Pache coming off the IL. He's coming back from an injury, but I also think this might have been beneficial. He came out of the gate struggling really bad. We know what he can do in center field with that glove of his, but he's working in Gwinnett at the alternate site, trying to work on that bat. So let's see if he can get plugged in and do the job.
Yeah, I mean, you got Chris Martin just got placed on the 10-day injury list. We can't say disabled anymore. Okay, Travis Darnell, we told you 60 days. Max Fried, another 10 days. Alex Jackson, 10 days. Heredia, I mean, he's been a
that
big
just happened.
Another 10 days. We haven't got Mike Soroka back yet either. He's on a 60.
No, he's still working out at the alternate site as it is right now. So injury woes for the Braves, but would you rather have this right now? Or would you rather have this in August?
No, I mean, you'd rather have it in August. So, all right, slow start, injuries, and now, hey, Truist Park. It's going to be back to full attendance May 7th. What do you think that's going to do for the Braves?
Well, I know that the players in the city of Atlanta are going to be super happy to be able to go out and support their team. You know, it's really cool. I mean, of course, the Texas Rangers are at full capacity right now. They will be the second team to open the door to have 100% fans there. It's a beautiful stadium. If you have the chance and you feel comfortable, you know, please make the trip and go see this stadium. And, I mean, you'll also get the chance to see the player of the month in Ronald Acuna Jr.
I mean, I mean, and, you know, don't forget Albies. I mean, he's been strong too. And, you know,
oh, Fred absolutely.
Freeman, you gotta love the crowd. All right. I didn't put this in the segment here. And I know we still got about,
about
5 minutes to about 8 minutes till our guest comes on. That'll be the third inning when we talk a little Savannah Bananas. High school baseball field named for Brian Snitker. How special is that, baseball man?
Oh, that is so cool. I don't think there is probably a cooler feeling than, you know, being named after a ballpark, making that being your namesake for the rest of your life. It's always going to have that name on there. And I just think it's so cool. Snit, a long time, you know, he's a baseball lifer. He has put his heart and soul into this game. And I just think it's so cool that he's getting this field named after him.
I mean, he's a perennial Braves manager. He's been in the farm system. He's getting his chance in the big leagues. And finally, someone has recognized that this man is baseball. I mean, you got to go back to Illinois, Macon, Illinois, where he's from. It's just special. And, you know, we hear about retiring numbers for baseball players. We hear about doing things for baseball players. You never hear much about managers.
No, you really don't. And I mean, there's only a handful of stadiums that have actually been named for majors. Well, I mean, you go back to Connie Mack Field in Philadelphia, but no, I just think it's a really cool tribute. And yeah, he definitely enjoyed it. He's from the prairie of Illinois, like way south of where I'm from, I'll tell you that. And but good on Snit. That's great. And I mean, he's earned every bit of this.
Well, he's earned that, but he's going to earn every bit of his paycheck this year with what's going on so far. So we got to love it. All right, we got a little time. Let's go back. I want to go back. Okay, how about did we talk about the biggest surprises this year so far?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest surprise for me, and we talked about the Boston Red Sox, I mean, just some of these division leaders. One thing I will mention really quick while we still have a minute here. There was a 7-inning no-hitter, unfortunately, against the Braves. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, the biggest surprise for me is love when you see these yesterday stars come back and be stars again. Baumgartner. I mean, especially also with his bat. Man, he's been something special for the major leagues. For me, 7 innings, you throw a no-hitter, it's a no-hitter. I mean,
I agree. I'm not going to be devil's advocate on this at all. I agree. It's in there.
He even had
a laugh about it afterwards.
The rule goes back a long time ago that you'd have to pitch 9 innings to get a no-hitter, a perfect game. But, you know, what happens? Okay, rain shortened game, 5 innings. They give those pitchers no-hitters.
It's happened before. Yeah, right. I mean, 5 innings is an official game. Now, I'm pretty okay with this because the way things are going in our game today with these extra double headers, there's going to be an anomaly at some point. This is going to happen. It's still a no hitter. I'm not questioning that at all. Like I good on him. You know, that was a tough day for the Braves. I'll tell you that, you know, but at the same time, who doesn't like watching a no hitter?
You got it. That's baseball when you could do that. And speaking about that, we got to get to our next inning, which is our third inning, which is our Savannah Banana update. But once again, you're watching the coach and the baseball fanatic on the Who's on First Base baseball podcast, which is all presented by Coach's Corner. And it's all on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Remember, we got 5 shows on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. We got Rubbin' and Grubbin' Wednesday nights, okay, 6 o'clock. You can watch Brandon Bain talk all about NASCAR, okay? Then at 7 o'clock, usually afterwards, it's the Coach and AD. We do a Wednesday night update, but because of all our athletic duties and coaching duties, we haven't done one in 4 weeks, which we'll miss tomorrow night again. Oh, sorry, we'll miss tonight again, okay, because the podcast comes out on Wednesdays. So we'll pick up that next week. Then on Saturday mornings, we haven't missed a Saturday morning. It's the Coach and AD though, on the Call of the Monster Sports Report. Those are our 3 live internet shows. 2 live internet shows. We have a third one. It's called The 19th Hole. That's where the Herb brothers come on and talk about golf, the major tournaments. They did the Masters. We're going to try and bring them on for the next major golf tournament. And then we have 2 podcasts, Hot Grids Podcast with Spencer Maddox and Travis Judon. And, of course, the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. So this time we get to talk a little Savannah Bananas. We couldn't get anybody last week. Well, we got off last week because you got a job. Congratulations, brother.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate that.
Okay, and I know you're getting ready. You're preparing for your interview. Okay, so we took a little hiatus last week. So, but anyway, we're back talking to somebody that's really close to the Savannah Bananas mission. Okay, fans first. I'm telling you right now, I got to enjoy watching this girl grow up at Islands High School. Hey, you want to talk about a pitcher? I want to see her, Kyle, pitch against a Bananas guy and strike him out. She's a fast pitch softball pitcher. She was phenomenal in high school, but she took her talents to Georgia Southern. She came away with a marketing degree. She did her internship, I think it was the 2017 or 18 season, with the Bananas in marketing, and now she's back. She and we've coined all. We've had, you know, Barry Aldridge, the king of Grayson Stadium. We have the king of the drone world with Jared Orton. We got the internet's broadcast entertainer with Biko Silver, and of course we had the Shark. What more do you want to say? But now we got the magician of the marketing department, the marketing director, straight out of Islands High School, right here on Wilmington Island, working for the Savannah Bananas, joining us live, Kara Hita. Okay, let me go to – there we go. Got to find my mouse.
Hello.
Good evening, hey. Kara. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Hey, we're talking baseball, which I know it's near and dear to your heart, whether it's softball or baseball. So, and it's a lot of fun talking about Bananas every episode that we've done. You've heard who we had on, a bunch of characters, as you know. But
yeah,
but Kyle, this girl is a character. You can picture this girl being part of the Bananas family even before she got there, because she's always looking to have a lot of fun. She's always using her imagination, and you're doing a great job, Kara. I mean, not that I had a chance to coach you or teach you, but just to watch you, what you're doing, it's fabulous.
Appreciate it.
So, all right, let's get into the marketing behind the Bananas. Okay.
Let's do it.
How do you come up with this stuff?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of help from everybody on the team. We don't just dilute ourselves to just the marketing team thinking of crazy ideas. So I'd say once a month or so, we have these things called idea paloozas where we all get together and we all just throw some ideas in a bucket and then we pull them out one by one and we just jump off each other's ideas and come up with some crazy stuff that way. That's the brunt of it, I'd say. But then, you know, some things just come up small and randomly you'll pass by somebody and be like, hey, we should do this. And then next thing you know, we're filming it and it's out in 2 days. So you never know how something comes to plan, but those idea paloozas help a lot.
Kyle, Kara.
Hello.
Well, hey, first off, thanks so much for taking the time. It's really fun to talk to you. So with that in mind, what is your favorite idea that's come to fruition at a Bananas game?
Oh, goodness. There's so many. It's hard to narrow it down.
I know.
we did this really weird one. Our director of film and production, Ben, came up with The Ideapalooza was centered around different promotions we could do during the game. And he came up with Crest on My Chest, which is literally what it sounds like. You take a bottle of Crest toothpaste and people were rubbing it on their chest. And it was the first one to dizzy bat and then scrape it off the other person and brush their teeth was the winner. It was, we were all just like staring at each other, like, what is happening? Is this actually happening on the field right now in front of 4,000 people? And it was, but it was a memorable one. And that one stemmed from just a random conversation. We were like, why don't we think of like names first that rhyme for promotions, and then we put the promotion with it. And he was like, Crest on My Chest, and I was like, okay, we can see what we can come up with.
So did they at least brush for 2 minutes?
I don't know. I think it was more like 10 seconds. But
oh my gosh. Okay.
You don't no, we didn't give them water or anything, so they were just
dry. Well, then I'm out.
You don't get much time in between innings to do this stuff, so you have to have it down to a T. So
they got it
strong. And if you're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast, we're talking to the marketing director for the Savannah Bananas, Kara Heater, local girl, Savannah, Georgia. Now, did you ever think attending Georgia Southern and doing your internship with the Bananas that you would become the director of this, I mean, entertainment group, but entertainment group that puts on pretty good baseball games too?
Yeah, I had no idea. I started college as a biology major out of randomness. I was like, I don't know what to do. Sure, biology. Quickly found out that wasn't for me. Started doing some business stuff and then realized I really liked marketing, and then saw an opportunity for an internship at the Bananas and was like, you know what? I might as well just apply. It's, you know, it's in Savannah. Love the games that I've gone to. Like, it seems fun. And then now we're here. So no, I would have never guessed, but I wouldn't change a thing. So.
Kyle.
Okay. So you find out you get the internship. What was your introduction into the Bananas? And I mean, just tell me about the journey here.
Yeah. So you have to go through a pretty rigorous process to get the internship. You have to make a cover video instead of a cover letter. You do a future resume. You write an essay about being fans first. So I remember when I was filming the video, I asked my roommates to help me, and I don't know if you guys know what MTV Cribs is, but that old school show. Yeah. So I made it like that. So like the camera comes up, knocks. I'm like, what's up, MTV? Welcome to my crib. And then I just walk through my house and talk about myself like that. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of overwhelming at first, you know, cause you come into this place where everybody's so high energy and you kind of don't know what to expect. You quickly realize that everybody there on staff is like a family, and they're there to help you completely. So you never feel like dumb asking questions. You know, they want you to get better. You're there to help even them get better, even though you're some little intern from college. But yeah, it was a crazy summer, but it was a really fun one. So
now, getting back into what you're doing, marketing and putting on the promotions and the social media and the Instagram post, they only last for about a minute and a half. How long does it take you guys to put this together and then do the actual recording? Is it one take, two takes? How does it work?
Yeah. So it's a little bit different for like game stuff. And then for just like off season stuff or like regular videos. So for game stuff, it's, you know, we're recording the whole game. We have meetings pregame to really nail down the vision of like the highlight video we want to put out afterwards, what our goal is that night for like Instagram and Facebook, like what content we want to go out. So we know exactly what we're trying to capture before we even go into the game, nice. Which is really helpful. But our video team, you know, they have to go through a whole lot of footage at the end of the night to, cause you know, we put our highlight videos out after the games, you know, it's about 30 minutes after the game ends, which is pretty crazy for them. But since we have a few guys on the team, they, you know, one can come in and start editing while the other's still capturing footage. But it's really just making sure, you know, we're setting ourselves up for success before the game even starts or before we even start filming. So I would say, yeah, games, it's kind of more fast paced, but when we're filming like a funny video in the office, it can be anywhere from the perfect take on the first one or 40 takes later. And we're all laughing and can't like even think straight because nobody can get their lines right or anything like that. But yeah, I would say the biggest thing is just making sure before the video even starts, we're all set on the vision and we know exactly what we're going in for. So that helps a lot.
Kyle?
I guess one more thing I can ask I mean, we have the CPL season starting at the end of the month. Is there anything you can divulge about what you're going to get into, what kind of crazy ideas, you know, you're going to get into when the season starts?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll have our typical opening night music video, which is going to be an interesting one this year, I think. So I'd be on the lookout for that opening night.
Awesome.
And then, you know, we'll have our normal crazy promotions during all the games and stuff. It's kind of tough because CPL, you know, there's a little more rules than when we have our spring series and our premier team where we kind of set the rules ourselves, honestly. so it'll be a little bit tougher on that end with, you know, the players because they are there to, you know, grow and develop and become really good guys and possibly get drafted. But, you know, we like to have our fun. So always going to be dancing, tricks, fun, fan entertainment, and just a really good time. So.
All right, let's get into the Savannah Bananas food merchandise. We've had this discussion with all our guests.
Okay.
Is hot dog a sandwich or its own entity?
Oh, I am strong on its own entity, 100%.
Yes. That's what I want to hear.
Girl, it's been around the ball field all her life, so you know, you knew a hot dog was going to be all by itself. All right, so if you were a fan going into Savannah Bananas games, what would be your favorite food to try or buy?
Ooh.
Garbage can and nachos are a classic.
Yeah, the garbage can and nachos. I've only had them like after a game when like we just make one for ourselves and stuff. And we kind of leave some of the stuff off of it because we're like, let's just make like normal nachos. But I would like to try the garbage can nachos. This is something I eat at every single, like every time we have a game, I grab one after the game. But I am an avid cheeseburger fan and always will be. So I will always go for a cheeseburger before anything else. But one of our, you know, banana staples, I would say garbage can nachos for sure.
Nice. Well, you live out here on Wilmington Island. Have you gone to the Crow's Nest yet? There's one of the best cheeseburgers in the city and nobody knows about it.
It's the Crow Bar.
Crow Bar.
Sorry. I said Crow's Nest. Okay.
I knew he was going to do it. I knew he was going to do that.
Yes, I like to go there, but when I go there, I normally get the wings because the wings are unmatched there too.
So. All right,
try the Philly. Last question. You got a chance. Get the Philly; it's good.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
All right. Any update on ticket sales? Any update on ticket sales? What we need to know if there's still any games left for these people?
Yeah. So today we actually launched our June games. We had 6 June games available, and we put those on sale to the priority list. I would say 20 minutes after we put them out in an email, our website crashed, our phones crashed because they were ringing off the hook. Some people could answer, some people couldn't. It was just like constant ringing in the office. We finally got it back up and running, and we have 2 games that are already sold out. So now we've got 4 June games left, which is insane. But yeah, they'll continue to go to the priority list over the next day. And then May 6th at 9 a.m., if there's still tickets left, we'll put them on sale to the public. So that's the big thing right now. July and August games won't go on sale until June. But if you know, you know, join the priority list or else solid chance you won't be getting the games you want. So
you can also get into Inside Bananas, and you also can get into your little marketing show you guys do every week.
That's true. That is true.
Well, Carrie, you're doing a great job. Great job. I love watching what you're doing and, you know, how, you know, you've gone with the baseballs. Can you promise me one thing?
Depends. What is it?
Get Jesse up at bat and let you throw him some fast pitch softball. Let's see if the big banana can hit off the marketing magician.
I'd love to see gosh.
That. There's a thought for you. Something that a lot of people would like to see.
I don't know if I got it anymore. I haven't pitched a ball in like 3 years. I've demoted myself to slow pitch church softball, so not too much fastness going on there. Maybe I'll have to start training again.
Yeah, we got to get you going because, you know, these baseball players brag they can hit a fast pitch pitcher. I don't think so either.
You hit them with a little drop curve and they don't know what to do.
I knew she was going to come with the drop curve. I knew it. So, but anyway, enjoy what you're doing. Keep it up. And once again, go Bananas.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Kara.
Thanks for having us.
Kara Hita, the marketing director of the Savannah Bananas. You got to love it. Local girl, come home, internship. And, you know, when you see those social media ads and all that other stuff, she's the one behind it. little Savannah in the bananas. You getting, you know what I mean, Kyle?
Absolutely. So, that's the way we like it. And yeah, man, that was a lot of fun. And man, I would love to see a slow, you know, see fast pitch and Jesse try to catch up to that drop curve.
I would love just to follow her for a day to see what she does, because if you're the marketing director for that crazy world over there called Banana Land, I mean, it's got to be exciting. I could just see them sitting around at the end of a game, bringing out that big tray of garbage can nachos and just, you know, shooting the breeze of what went right, what went wrong, and what we're going to do better the next day. It's just great.
They had their nacho meeting, and I think that's a pretty cool idea. It's like, all right, the nachos are here. What are we thinking about for tomorrow? We're playing bacon again. What do you got for me?
Throw some bacon on it.
I like it.
You know, but just
hey, we came up with that idea.
I just got to throw this quick at you because we're running late again like we always do. We got to get to the fourth inning where I'm going to beat you in trivia tonight. But why don't we think – I know major leagues will never do anything like what the bananas do, but why do you think the minor leagues buy into something like this?
Well, I mean, there's always been gimmicks in the minor league, but I don't think we've ever seen anything this extreme, you know, where it's getting everybody in the community involved with a team, even if they're not necessarily into baseball. You've seen marketing going back to the days of Bill Veeck, you know, with the St. Louis Browns and, you know, with the, you know, disco demolition with the Sox. And but I mean, I really think it's imperative that they do that to bring fans back. Obviously, the AAA season's getting ready to start. A lot of alignment. I think eventually they are going to take some pages out of the banana book.
Well, we need to do something. We need to make this game more fun. I mean, you and I are purists. We'd love to see a no-hitter versus a 20-10 game. But they got to make it fun. You know, and that's what I got to say here. That's what the banana fans don't realize. The baseball is good. So if you go in there to watch baseball, you're watching a good product besides the entertainment, which is unbelievable. I mean,
you're going to have fun. You're going to have fun. They have a little bit of something for everybody. And I think, I mean, that's been the primary goal, you know, for the Coles since they, you know, purchased this team and brought it to Savannah.
All right. You're listening to the Baseball Fanatic and the Coach on the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast, Episode 6, and it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Please go to coachescorner.net, check it out, because we know it's all food, all fun since 1991 and all sports, but now you get a little music too. On Fridays and Saturday nights, we have the producers coming in. Check it out, big time band, coachescorner.net, and find out what's going on over there. It's just not all sports. Plus, it's got a lot of good food. And it's got a pretty good cheeseburger, too, there, Kyle.
Solid burger. I know we're typically pizza and wings kind of guys. But, yeah, everything I've had there has been phenomenal. But, yeah, check out Coach's Corner. We've been having fun there for years. And, yeah, I mean, the music there is great. A lot of great bands have come through there. And I've been able to see a lot of them in my time here in Savannah. So, yeah, definitely check them out. And, once again, thanks to John and all his guys out at Coach's for sponsoring us too.
And now we're going into inning number 4, and of course in inning number 4 is baseball trivia. It's the Coach challenging the Baseball Fanatic. The Baseball Fanatic, after 5 episodes, is 3-1-1. The Coach then is 1-3-1, but he had won 17 straight before I finally beat him, so I gotta have a little feather in my cap this year. But once again, he's been a nice guy. He's been asking me questions about my youth. Okay, and my Ute and baseball team, the New York Yankees. So I'm going to give him a little favor back tonight. So I'm probably going to be 4-1-1, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. Maybe I'll get lucky. We're going to do a little Cubs trivia for the Baseball Fanatic, but he really is the biggest Cub fanatic I know. You ready to go?
That's what I like to hear. So let's do it to it, Coach. What do you got?
All right. Who was the last pitcher to pitch a perfect game against the Cubs?
Ooh, pitch a perfect game. Okay. Oh, boy. I'm trying to think because I remember Cole Hamels threw a dandy for the Phillies. Now, we're going to have to go. I think we got to go because we've had a handful of no-hitters thrown against us. I'm trying to think perfect game. How far back we going here? Okay. This was on a Cubs classic game. I'm going to go Jim Maloney, Cincinnati Reds.
Ah, But no, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, the great lefty, Sandy Koufax.
Oh, my gosh. It was that game.
That was the game.
Don Henley, the pitcher for the Cubs, threw a one-hitter.
That's right.
I mean, pitched a dandy. Okay.
Okay.
I'm 0 for 1. Good on you, coach.
No dinger on that one.
Okay. Other than your beloved New York Yankees, name the last team to win 3 consecutive World Series. That was the most recent, 98, 99.
Right.
Yeah, you should know that one.
I'm going to go either the Big Red Machine or the Oakland A's. I'm going to go with the Oakland A's in the 70s.
You got it, coach.
Yes.
72, 73, and 74. Now, the Big Red Machine did win 2 back-to-back in 75 and 76. There was 75 and 76. There you go. All right. Well played.
Here we go. You probably get this. Before Sammy Sosa, okay, with the 2 fingers to the sky, before Sammy Sosa broke his record in 1998, who led the Cubs in home runs in a season? He led the Cubs in RBIs as well.
Ooh. Okay, in a season. If you were saying in a career, I'm like, I'm going to crush you on this.
In a season.
Dave Kingman.
Now I'm going back to the 1930s.
Oh, Hack Wilson. Oh, my God. 56 and 191. I just want to kick the hell out of myself right now.
In 1930. All right. I know. Okay. I could win it right here now. You know that. I could win it.
I just don't want that to happen. But here goes. Question 2, coach. What Hall of Fame manager was known as the White Rat?
White Rat. Had to be White Rat. Okay, I know who it is. I could see him.
Don't do this.
I could see him. Oh man, you're killing me.
I'm pissed off about the Hack Wilson thing. I got a picture of him right in front of me.
White Rat. He was St. Louis Cardinals. What was his name?
Well, if you knew, you'd get the answer right.
I got the right team, though, right?
Yes.
I don't know the name.
Oh, boy, you are going to hate this. Whitey Herzog. Okay. Oh.
All right, down to the final inning now. Can you tie it? Okay. This is a tough one. All right. What Hall of Famer for the St. Louis Cardinals played for the Cubs at one point in his career in the outfield?
Jim Edmonds. Oh, you said Hall of Famer?
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer.
Okay, give me a second on that.
It's a Hall of Famer.
Ooh. Oh, Lou Brock.
Oh, man, he got it. Oh, man.
Yeah, Brock for Broglio, one of the worst trades we've ever made.
I knew you'd remember that.
No, I didn't hear the Hall of Fame part. So, okay, thank you for giving me some clemency on that.
All right, let's go. I still can win right here.
All right, you can still win. What is Yogi Berra's full name?
That's another thing. I got right here in my mind. I could see it. Lawrence Yogi Berra.
What's his middle name? I said full name.
Full name?
That's what I just said.
Oh, that's a technicality.
No, it isn't.
That's a technicality.
No, it isn't. I said the full name of Yogi Berra.
I know it's Lawrence Berra. I don't know what his middle name is.
Peter. Or Pietro.
He has a son, Lawrence, and he has a son, Peter. I know that. Okay, now I know where it comes from.
Son named Dale that used to play for the Pirates.
Okay, this could be a tie. This could be a tie game. All right, we'll go into the last inning because we never go more than 4 innings, okay? It's like putting a runner on second base in the 10th inning, which I hate.
Oh, I hate it too. We're going to talk about that on the next show. I about threw something at the TV the other day.
All right. You know what the basket is at Wrigley Field, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
The basket was put there in 1970 to keep fans from falling out from the bleachers.
Okay. I had to do some research on that, okay? Who hit his first home run
in
the basket at Wrigley Field in 1970 when they put the basket up?
Ernie Banks.
Whew, I still got a shot to win. Billy Williams.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I know. I'm throwing tough ones at you. I know.
All right. That was fr- I knew it was a Hall of Famer. That's tough. Okay. Right. So
is this for the win or the tie?
Oh, no. We're 1-1 right now.
Right. If I get this, I win. If I don't get
already,
it.
I've already given you my three. So technically, if you wanted to go into extra innings here, we can do that.
That's what we just did. I just gave you my fourth question.
That's true.
Okay.
I was not paying attention. So finally, for the win, other than 1994, can you name the other year where the World Series was not played? When it was not played?
Not played.
Correct.
94.
Other than?
That'd be another one of those strike years. It's going to end in a tie. I'm going to take a guess.
Do it.
1989.
No, that was the Bay Bridge, the Battle of the Bay series.
Right.
That was 1904. I knew you wouldn't get that, and I'm not going to let you beat me, so I will take the tie. Good on you, coach.
It's just like kissing your sister. Remember that.
Wah, wah.
So, but anyway.
Hey, good stuff, man. Those were tough questions for me.
Well, we always have a lot of fun. We got to thank, of course, Kara Heater, the marketing director from Savannah Bananas, local girl out of Islands High School, went to Georgia Southern, is now the marketing director. Great interview, finding out what they do with their marketing and how they come up with all this crazy stuff. And once again, remember, Braves fans, patience. Patience,
deep
patience,
breath. Patience. Deep breath.
Baseball fanatics said the Cincinnati Reds wouldn't stay in first place. They've already dropped down to third. Believe the baseball fanatics. So remember, every Wednesday, you're going to get a new episode of the Who's on First Base baseball podcast brought to you by Coach's Corner, because we're all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. And until we speak with you next week, whatever you're doing tomorrow, always hit it out of the park. But until next week, be your best week ever. We're out of here. Mask up. Wash those hands. Social distance. God bless.
Take care.